Lord Jesus, we thank you because during this very special occasion, we still need to be able to hear you, and you desire to speak to us, and we together need to learn. Lord, we do pray that you would teach us how to be mothers and wives. Lord, we are unworthy, but Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Do give us time so that we may learn. For this following time, Lord, we look to you. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you and praise you. For this following time, Lord, and precious time, we look to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We give the following time now to Sister Amy Bohr. Hello, everyone. Last week, because of the sake of time, I did not finish the topic on being fathers. And also on being husbands. And so later, as I was waiting before the Lord, I felt that my burden had not yet been fully released, so do forgive me. I still need to complete this burden so that I can continue on in speaking about mothers and wives. Last week, when I was speaking about fathers, especially between communication between fathers and children, there was a point, because of the sake of time, I did not continue on. I feel that this point is extremely important, and this is on why fathers really need to spend time with their children. The reason is because while the children are young, because my audience are for the parents of the primary children from kindergarten through grade 5, so as fathers, as dads, when he gives us this time to spend with them, this is a time to nurture their spiritual desire, not only to talk about this and talk about that, but in all these matters, as children of God, how do we view these things? As children of God, what does the world teach us? But because I have known the Lord, and because Jesus has done these things in me, now I find that the value of my life, the value of my time, this is how I live. So now, from this perspective, as I share with my children, as fathers, gradually you are nurturing a spiritual desire as they see and as they communicate with the parents. Very sadly, a lot of young fathers have neglected this. They don't know about this. And so when you have no communication regarding this, once your children are in middle school, high school, all of a sudden, there are so many things, so many ideas they have. They do not have good soil. They do not have good foundation. And then you face a lot of unnecessary arguments. And so from kindergarten through fifth grade, when you're in elementary school, when you are in this age, this is a time for you to sow the spiritual things. This is a time when they are the softest. Sadly, all the fathers were here. I'm very apologetic. All the dads were here, and I had not mentioned this. But this is the time that we need to really nurture. In modern language, this is an investment. This is an investment. Sadly, today, among many parents, we know that we need to invest our money in finances. We need to analyze how we are to invest our money. However, we have neglected using that time to speak to our children, to be spiritual companions with them. This is a type of investment upon our children. This is an ROI, an return on investment. This is what you are going to regain back in your investment for the rest of your life, because the time that you have invested upon your children so that they will have spiritual trust and spiritual interest, then gradually you will gain back in all the things in your spiritual life, and you gain their spiritual trust, then gradually you will become spiritual companions. This is something we truly desire, that every family of God will be like this, so that all of a sudden in discussion, all of a sudden you have an opportunity to argue. No, it's not like that. And I did not have time to share about this last time. Now we want to go on to talk about Abigail. Now, Abigail was beautiful, but not full of herself. So very quickly, we want to switch gears from turning from the husband to still talk about the marital relationship in our marriage life. We're going to switch to the wife. In her personality, she is an example for us. Yes, even though she was beautiful, but from her life, in her response, you will see that this person, she was not full of herself. She took ownership of her husband's mistake and confessed on his behalf, prevented bloodshed among many people. Sisters, this is such a beautiful example for us. She took ownership of her husband's mistake. This is a testimony of two becoming one flesh. Her husband's mistake was her mistake. Especially as husband and wife, as you face outward, this idea or this thought, because the husband had made a mistake, the wife immediately stands up and says, yes, it is my mistake as well. This thought is so beautiful. This morning when I woke up, I felt it was really amazing as I was meditating on this. Actually, the whole week I've been meditating, but this morning, as I was meditating, all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me and moved inside of me and says, I must say this phrase. Today in God's house, we really lack the spirit of Abigail. Oftentimes in God's house, when the world appears, everybody is pointing fingers. What you say, what that person said. In church life, we have so many waves because all these things, we're all pointing our fingers at one another. Do we immediately have somebody who's willing to submit and kneel down in order to maintain the sense of life from among us? And so this morning as I woke up, the Lord was reminding me with a very deep impression. We're always speaking of who's right, who's wrong. And in this matter, we want to explain this, explain that. But for Abigail, she was the covering for her husband. And later on, we're going to speak more in detail about this. Because she was like this, so she now was able to avoid the bloodshed of many people. She did not rebuke Nabal immediately and start a family feud. Abigail knew the severity of the situation, the anxiety of the situation, and she needed to take care of this mistake. And so immediately she put aside her temperament, her personality. She did not immediately go and rebuke her husband. This is a beautiful thought. She needed to make right what was wronged. She became her husband's covering and asked for forgiveness twice. As you go back and look at this passage, this story, you will find that two times Abigail, in verse 24, she says, oh my Lord, be the blame. Let me be the blame. In verse 24, two times, she says, upon me, my Lord. Let the iniquity be on me. And then verse 28 again. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant. Twice, she took the responsibility of her husband's mistake. In church life, many times, we need to avoid. We cannot avoid. We will see some brothers and sisters do something or say something, or perhaps our family members have a particular behavior. May the Lord give us wisdom, particularly as wives, in this situation. In what way can I maintain life in the gathering so that there would not be bloodshed? How can I maintain life? This is very, very important. She was wise in her timing in relaying her encounter with David after Nabal woke up in the morning. Last time we already spoke of how this person, Nabal, he could not see himself. He was blind to himself. He spoke wrongly, he did not know. He did not know that he offended others. And then he went home and had a great banquet. This husband, we don't know where he came. Is he from outer space somewhere? He had a huge party and then he became drunk. But then, of course, Abigail, when she went back, she had plenty of time to speak to him, but she waited. She waited until her husband was awake in the morning, and then she spoke to him. And then next we see that Abigail intervened. So in Abigail's behavior here, very first, we see that Abigail intervened on her husband's behalf. We see also that Nabal's behavior, the result was that he feasted and became drunk. And also we find that God dislikes an unrepentant heart. Sisters, I do find that oftentimes when we serve, our Lord has so much grace. He really gives us so many opportunities. But when I see a person like Nabal, I find it so strange. He had committed such a grave mistake. And now when his wife comes to speak to him, but this person, Nabal, why didn't he not go and say sorry? Why not say sorry? Why is he hard-hearted until the very end? God gave Nabal 10 days to repent. Verse 38. Please look at this verse very carefully. Every time when I read this in my heart, I really feel so sorry for him. 10 days later. The Bible tells us 10 days later, he still had not yet repented. And so because of this, now God is sovereign. And the scripture records, the Lord smote Nabal and he died. Ten days have passed. Our Lord gave him 10 days of opportunity, but he did not have even a shadow of turning. And so God had to end his life. He had lived long enough. And so in this story, we see whether or not our heart and our spirit is soft or not, it is a very, very important reality. Okay, so now I need to quickly conclude this because I want to continue on to speak on the role of a wife and mother. So now we're going to move on to Proverbs 31st. So let me adjust my screen now. So just be patient for one moment. Thank you. I have titled this Meditations on Proverbs 31. Oh, sorry. Yes, on Proverbs. Many years ago, I had a lot of thoughts on this chapter. And then over the years, as I read these words, I feel that the words are so abundant. And the principles are rather difficult. But one time the Lord gave me a moving that from verse 10 to 31, when we speak of the virtuous woman, The Lord has given me words to categorize them. Now, once we have put these into different buckets or different categories, it is a little easier to see in our fellowship what are the things we can learn. So do take note that these are some of my meditations or some of my sense and feelings, and I just want to share this with you. And so may these be words of mutual exhortation. I do ask for His precious blood to cover me. It's not one person or not one person has attained to it, but may these words among all of us as sisters. There are many, many aspects of what we can learn. So these are some of my own thoughts in my meditation. Now, of course, as I have fellowship on these things, there are two verses which have been of great help to me. So first is from 1 Corinthians 4:9. We have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. And the next verse, Romans 11:36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Sisters, as we live here on earth, we have the seen and that which we can touch. This physical world is very tangible. There are many things we can grasp. However, this world is not just this physical world. There is also the spiritual. So when we speak of our family lives and our marriage relationship, our individual lives, it's like we are living out a play. It's a spectacle for everyone to see. The people see as well as the angels see. And in Romans, it tells us that for from Him, through Him, to Him, our husband, our children, all things are from Him. And so in these learnings, when we rely on Him, in time, all the glory needs to be given to Him. May these verses be applied into our marriage life, into our family life, and then it will be of great help to us. So I hope, sisters, from this fellowship, as you go deeper, may every single lesson, whether you fail or have victory, in all things you will give all glory to Him, and the Lord will do it. The very first management is in trust management. Trust management. So in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. In marriage, you really are establishing trust. And in this trust needs to come from faith. Among husband and wife, if you have no trust, and if it is lost, then do forgive me for saying, then this marriage will be very painful, will be very difficult. You'll be full of suffering. If he has gone out, you will be constantly thinking, why does he have two cell phones? And why is one cell phone, he does not allow me to see it? Where is he going? When is he coming back? And you have no sense of security. All of these things will be a bondage to you. This mutual trust is a very basic foundation. But the enemy is constantly is shooting these arrows at our hearts so that you have no trust in one another. Strange. Why is it that he's always on the phone and he's always closing the door so that I cannot hear? Every time the phone rings, he runs outside. Why? If, brothers and sisters, in your marriage relationship, all of these very small details, if you do not have trust, do not look lightly upon that. And next, Proverbs 4:23, this is a matter of the heart. There are some verses I'm also going to collect it within this management. There's some other verses that I'm going to collect into other managements or other categories. We can also apply them to lots of different categories. In verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Yes. Today, in our today's language, what does this mean? When I meditate, I'm often thinking of how to translate it into our everyday language. So, We are going to build him up. What does it mean that we do him good, not evil? We build him up. So how do you build him up? You are to speak words of encouragement and not to tear down. Goodness, is this easy? Sisters, is this easy? I see several video screens. I'm the very first one to shake my head. I see several people shaking their heads. I acknowledge this is my biggest problem. It's very difficult for me to say words of encouragement to my husband. I completely admit it. Why? Because I find that I'm very anxious. And then I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this or I'm afraid of that. Brother Bohr, after he has preached and then he comes home, he would say, "So, how did my preaching go today?" And I would say, "That's pretty good. It's okay." And then he says, "Why don't you say words of encouragement to me?" And I says, "I can't. If I cannot say words of encouragement to you, because if I encourage you and I praise you, then you will become proud. And if you are proud, then you will sin. So I cannot praise you." And then he becomes very angry. And then he says, "Can you encourage? Say some words of encouragement." I find for me personally, this is very hard. Because oftentimes I'm thinking that I do not want to stumble my husband to such a point to him that he cannot stand me. So I need to acknowledge this. Next, this is a continual WIP, which is work in progress for her lifelong relationship. This is our lifelong learning. We will never be able to avoid this because we ourselves, our husbands, we are all learning together. We are all work in progress. You cannot be an incomplete product. No, we're constantly work in progress. So this is all regarding the aspect of trust. The second management is our attitude management. Our attitude management. Verse 13 says, "She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight." Sisters, yes, this is a woman who works with her hands in delight. She will look for different materials to work with. And so this causes me to think about how this willing attitude will lead us to have a pleasant attitude. Do we have a pleasant attitude at home? Sisters, especially for those of us who are very skillful, sometimes in the morning, as soon as I wake up, back then when I needed to go to work, on my face, I had a checklist. Today, I need to do this, I need to do that. There's so many things I need to do. As soon as I come home from work, I need to do this, do this, do this. And so I was overwhelmed by all the things that needed to be done. And my attitude on my face was different. Next, no expectations toward her spouse. Today, because we have lost our pleasantness, because when we're so occupied, so many, many other things, we have a lot of expectations. We hope that our spouse would help us and do this and do that. But he cannot see that I have any need. Why is it he's not coming to help me? Why does he not see that there is this, there is that? And now, if you have no expectation, then you will have a pleasantness. But if you have expectations, then all of a sudden your pleasantness disappears. After all these years, I have realized that my expectations toward my other half, it's better to not have any. The higher your expectation, the greater your loss. This has been my experience. If you constantly have an expectation and a standard, and he cannot attain to it, then within you, you will be so disappointed. You will have a lot of grumbling in your heart. This is something that you have created inside of yourself. So why? Why bother? Verse 25, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future." Why did I pick this verse to be under attitude management? It is because This ability, this dignity, this strength is an inward character. It is something that is inward. When a person inwardly has rest, has faith, it is very easy then to be a calm and restful person, to have strength. When her clothing, which is seen, now she's able to smile at the future and face everything. Oftentimes, as wives and as mothers, oftentimes we lose our strength because inwardly we do not have faith towards the Lord. We lack that faith, or we have forgotten to think about looking at the Lord. We have forgotten to learn that rest. In quietness and rest, it shall be our strength. When you learn to follow the Lord in faith, the strength will come. Let's continue. Do not try to change your spouse. Leave it to the Lord. All of these things are some of the mistakes I have experienced from my first days, married life days, all the way to recently, without realizing it. I always hope that perhaps he will change. There's so many things. We hope that he will be better. There's some things that he can improve on. And within us, we're so anxious. But then I do find that when I leave it to the Lord, I give it to the Lord, and I have no expectation for my spouse, then you will find rest will come, strength will come. And then your inward attitude will gradually change so that you will know what does it mean to rely on the Lord. And then you'll be fearless of what others see in her because she sees the Lord. This is very, very important. Now you will not care so much what other people think of me. I don't really care. In my spiritual condition, of course, we ourselves will care. But regarding your face, you need to look at the Lord. The Lord will do it. If the Lord is going to change, he will change us. This is an inward principle in your attitude. This is something in us that needs to grow and mature between you and the Lord. I will not attain to this after maybe just 5 years or 10 years, but as the years of marriage go on, in all these aspects, after a lot of smoothing and training, then you will grab a hold of this strength because our eyes are going to be fixed more and more on the Lord. Next management is regarding your mouth. We need to have mouth management. This is our third area. First is trust. Second is regarding our attitude. Third is regarding our mouth. Verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching, the law of kindness, is on her tongue." In this aspect of our speech, this is our lifelong lesson that we'll never finish learning. But let's look at it in a little bit more detail. Regarding our speech, oftentimes in church life, I will hear this. And when I hear this, I feel great sadness in my heart. Among the sisters, when we are all together, without realizing it, we will speak of our husbands. We will say a little bit of this and that. Please be very, very careful. We do not want to speak behind his back, and you need to be careful when you speak in front of the children. Whether you're behind your husband or whether you're in front of your children, particularly when they are young. When you are speaking and arguing and disagreeing with your husband in front of the children, as a wife and as a mother, you are criticizing your husband in front of the children. Do you think your children will have a good result? No. Between parents, if often in this aspect you have neglected it, you have forgotten, and you constantly are trying to disagree or express your own opinion loudly in front of the kids, and you have a big fight in front of your children, it is very possible that your children will not want to listen to the father because they have seen dad has been like this and like this and like that. We need to be very sensitive, be careful in front of the children as much as possible. This is an exhortation. If there's any matter, wait until the children are gone in bed and then behind closed doors, then talk, disagree. Do not fight in front of the children. This is a very difficult lesson, but this is a protection for your children. A protection for the children. I remember many years ago, my children were very, very young. They were 3 or 4 years old in Vancouver, Canada. One time we went out and I asked another sister to come and babysit my two kids. My kids were very small at that time. And that sister, after she finished babysitting, that time went and passed. And later that sister, when she had an opportunity to meet me, she said, "Sister Amy." I said, "What?" She said, "I realize that you and your husband never fight." And I said, "What? How can it be?" I said, no, I definitely have arguments with my husband. I was so shocked. And I said, "Where have you found this?" And she said, "That one time when I babysat your children, I asked your daughter, 'Do your parents fight?' And your daughter said, 'My mother and dad, they never fight.'" And my kids were very young at that time, so I was laughing. And I said, no, dear sister, of course there are times that we are unhappy, but we never fight in front of the children. We fight in the room after they have gone to bed. Then we talk things over in the room. We're not perfect at all, but this is in order to protect our children. I do not want, because of a disagreement between adults, to stir up the kids, to stir up anything in them. No. This is a very important protection. And then, also in front of other third parties. Yes, in front of other people as well. This is a beauty. Do remember, every word one day will need to be spoken in front of the judgment seat of Christ. You will need to be careful. This is the actual application of the cross. Perhaps sometimes you have just, your temper is about to explode, but the time is wrong. Do not say anything. Like Nabal and Abigail. Abigail learned this so wonderfully. She did not say anything. Quickly, she will take care of the issue first before she say anything. Whether or not to speak, in what environment, at what time, and how to say it is a very difficult learning. Let's continue. In mouth management, we are to speak kind words instead of dwelling on the negatives. Speak kind words. Perhaps now that you've grown up, you are used to a particular way of speaking. You're very casual. And that, without realizing it, you have said some things that you have caused your spouse to feel so uncomfortable. So, have you spoken kind words or unkind words? For example, "Why are you so dumb?" A lot of parents, when they scold their children, they would say, "Why are you so dumb?" And then if you say this many times, it becomes very hurtful. It's very painful. The next point. Good memories and not bad ones. In this aspect, I have learned from my husband. He has greatly helped me in this. Why? Because one time we had a disagreement. This was right before we were to go to bed. And during the daytime, we had some broken communication. So we had to clarify everything before bed. And so he said, "Amy, is there anything in you that's a good memory of me? Am I really that awful of a person? Are there any good memories of me in you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure." And I tried to think. And he says, "Okay, here, come. Let's think. In the past, between the two of us, let's think of some good memories and review it. And so I sat there and I started to think. And he says, oh, I remember one. Many, many years ago, we were living in Eugene, Oregon. And then you were working in Salem. And so you would leave home and go to work. And you would have to be on the freeway for an hour and a half on the road. It was 96 miles. And you would get back and you would be on the road. And a full trip is 3 hours. And one time, because there was a terrible traffic jam, perhaps there was an accident, so you called me and that you needed to get on the train to get home that day. So that day, because time had come, and so I waited for you at the Amtrak station, at the train station, because there were a lot of people there picking them up from the train. And when the train arrived, I was waiting for you. And when you came down from the train, I kept waving at you, and all of a sudden you saw me. And you smiled, and you were so happy, and you gave me such a sweet smile. I said, oh, I did? I said, I don't remember that. He says, I'll never forget it. You smiled so sweetly. And in my heart, I felt so regretful because I had no recollection of this whatsoever. So, you know, in marriage, it's a constant mutual reminder. Remind one another of the good. Do not remind each other of the bad. Forget the bad. Bury it. This is watching our mouth. This is mouth management. This is a nurturing of our marriage. The more you speak of the good memories, in this way, when it becomes a habit to our children, in front of our children, this is an education. This is an education for them too. Let's speak of our good memories. Let's not drag out past garbage. Let go and die to them. All of the garbage from the past. I'm sure after many years, we know in our heads, we have so much trash and garbage of all the bad things that have happened in the past. All of these things, consciously place them aside. No longer mention it. Oftentimes I find, as fathers, yes, we have the honeymoon period as between couples. Yes, you have the honeymoon period, but then later, as time goes on, you have a lot of bad memories that start to collect. And then, perhaps these situations have already resolved, but after a few years, when another situation arises, whether it's the wife or the husband, you will say, look, a few years ago, look, in the past, this happened. You drag and you bring out all the things that have happened in the past. What is that? This means that you cannot die for your spouse. Christ died for his bride. The husband dies for his wife. If you are constantly bringing out your trash, then you are not dying. So today I want to speak this very, very plainly. No longer bring this out. Don't constantly pull out the trash. This is not dying. This is not loving. This is not love. We do need to learn how to completely let go of them. Don't even think about these things again. Otherwise, you're constantly living in the past. Our past shadows constantly have a grip on us. Then our spiritual lives will never progress and move forward. I promise you, you will not grow. Because of the past things, if they have not gone to the side, how can you move forward? Let's continue. Do not play the blame game, even spouses, parents. Yes, even if you have been offended, you have been blamed. It does not matter. Whatever you have gone through, even through your in-laws, do not bring all of these past things to become an issue of disagreement between you and your spouse. Gradually, as you follow the Lord and you learn to follow the Lord in every aspect. These things have been arranged by the Lord. You cannot blame anyone. These things, when you accept it from the hand of the Lord, then it's fine. It's totally fine. So basically, what all of this is this last point here. We need to grow up as adults. Yes. Brothers and sisters, particularly sisters, we need to grow up. We need to speak like an adult. Do not still have the mindset of being a high schooler or a child. If all things come from the Lord and for the Lord, then this includes our in-laws. It includes our family life. Never blame. We receive from the hand of the Lord. Then you will find within us, you will be set free. Okay, the next management is regarding money management. This fourth management, now that we've finished about our mouth management, next, money management. This is very practical. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. This is from verse 14. What does this say? What does Proverbs say? She plans ahead. She knows the needs of the family. So with today's daily life, this means we think ahead. She plans ahead. You have eaten all the way to your last cup of rice and all of a sudden realize, oh, I have no more rice at home. There's so many things as mothers, as wives, don't live on the edge. In English, this phrase is at the very last possible second. Oh no, goodness, I don't have this anymore. This is so hair-raising. This would cause us to all live on the edge. But no, plan ahead. This has a lot to do with how you manage your money. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So this means that she is resourceful. She is prudent in spending. This virtuous woman is a person who knows how to consider, how to be resourceful. She sees something, she wants to buy it because another sister has it, and so all of a sudden, because you want it, now you put the family need aside. It becomes a lower priority. No. Regarding family expenses, we need to consider well that we do not act upon impulse. Oftentimes as sisters, whereas we act on impulse, but no. Think several days, a third time, a fourth time. Should I purchase? Should I do this? This consideration is very important. Let's continue on. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. This means going through a difficult time. Let's continue on. Knows the importance of saving, storage, or budget. In these verses, it all talks about money management. Why? Because she knows. This virtuous woman knows that her gain is good. But at nighttime, she still needs to be diligent. She needs to take care of that time. Of course, in scripture, night oftentimes speak of difficult times. In scripture, nighttime, dark times, often speak of the very challenging and difficult times. At this time, her lamp does not go out because she is doing the work of preparation. And then she also makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This is verse 24. What does this say? It means she's serving others and helps others beyond her own family. Not only is she making things, but she sells them. Not only that, but she also thinks of the needs of others. This has a lot to do with money management. Every month, in our household love offering, do we have this practice that when we write our check, We pray. We say, Lord, who do you want me to give this to? Is there any need among the brothers and sisters? Lord, should I offer to this person? Should I offer to that person? In your heart, have you thought about the needs of the saints? And then you write that love offering. We need to consider the needs of others. Perhaps this money, the Lord wants you to give to another person. You don't know. Okay, let's continue on. This is time management. So verse 15. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She is diligent and considerate. Sisters, be diligent, be considerate. It's not even 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. She rose from her bed. She prepares everything for her household and then to others. She is diligent. She is considerate. This is so important. And then she's also a person of endurance and tenacity. This endurance, in this practice of endurance, among us who are sisters, as parents, particularly in how we use time, we really need to endure. For example, now regarding this pandemic, our children are all home. Everyone is home. So while we are at home, have we given them some instruction? We are at home every day now. So at what time do we need to do this? At what time do we do work? At what time do we exercise? And we can exercise together. At what time do we do this? Do we have the endurance to help our children to schedule their time so that we ourselves can also arrange our time so that we could teach them how to have good time management? Now on Fridays, I'm also serving the young people here. And so I would ask the young people, what time do you go to bed? Some are embarrassed to tell me. There's some young people that say, oh, about 11 o'clock, midnight, I go to bed. And I say, oh, that's kind of late. And so what time do you get up? And they say, oh, about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And I say, what? You don't go to school. And so you sleep until 10 or 11 o'clock. So after you eat breakfast, then you immediately eat lunch. And so your whole day, what are you doing? And so this tells me time management as a mother and as a mom. If you do not have this idea of verse 15, it is very easy that our children will become very careless. If parents, you are careless, then our children's time will also be careless. Be careful. This is our personal endurance and tenacity. On one hand, it's our personal learning. On the other hand, it's also training our children. To be tenacious is very interesting. This definition of this word. Let's say it's raining or it's snowing outside. And the snow is already 2 inches high on the ground, but I need to go to work. And the bus is not running, the light rail is not running, what should I do? I need to walk. This is being tenacious. I will still walk. Okay. Now, this woman, this virtuous woman will also know her priorities. You need to prioritize what is most important, what needs to be done, what is second in priority, what is number three, what is number four. Do we know how to arrange things? Many sisters are very good. They know how to think of other people, but they cannot organize or prioritize their own families. It's very strange. Verse 18. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. This also we use here in time management. We mentioned it before. In the next two bullet points, she makes good use of her time, the mindset in training our daughters for their future years. in this mindset, the more I've been thinking about it, the more I find it's very important. As wives, as mothers, as we go about our daily lives, I don't know about the parents nowadays. Have you ever thought that as a mom, our children is right next to us all the way up till age 18, and then perhaps all the way through college, through age 22, and one day they're going to get married. They will have their own families. One day they will grow up. Do you have this thought that all of your arrangement, your priorities, how you use your time, your attitude, your mouth, your speech, your money, all of this is a training so that they will have a happy family life, so that their future families, they will be prepared for their families. Why do I say this? Because I realize, particularly now, some young families, some mothers, they are lacking in this particular mindset. Everything is prepared so well for their children. Or perhaps it's the grandma. Grandma has arranged everything for their children. And then time has come. And then after the meal, the children are gone. The parents have served, have brought everything in front of the children. As if the children has never felt that there was a need to help mom and dad. In this aspect, I hope I haven't spoken too much about it, but I have seen some families. I have felt sad. Some children, they are so old. They have grown up to 17 or 18. They have never entered the kitchen to help with dishes. They have never helped their mom. They have never gone to go grocery shopping with their parents. So one time, among the young people, I asked them, I said, among you, who, young people, raise your hand to show me, who have gone to help your parents to clean the bathroom? And all of them sat there and stared at me. I said, what? Not one of you have ever helped clean a bathroom for your parents? I said, how many of you, young people, have helped mop the floor? All of them had their heads down and did not look at me. And I looked at the boys and I said, boys, over there, which one of you have helped wash the car for your dad? And they says, no, Sister Amy, we go to the car wash. What wash the car? We go to the car wash. So I said, goodness. So later, when you grow up and you have your families, never of you are going to be in the kitchen. Do you know how to cook? And all of them said, well, now we have YouTube. Everything is according to YouTube now. I felt this was so sad, so tragic. Okay, let me continue. Time management. Number 2, verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This is also regarding usage of time. Be organized in your daily schedule. Because of this point, I have spoken an hour and a half to our young people to help them, teach them how to write a daily schedule. At what time they need to get up, what time they need to do what time they need to do the next item, every day how to write a schedule. So that at the end of the day, at least there are 15 minutes to do what? To read your Bible. And every day, if you've at least had 15 minutes, if you've written and you've followed your daily schedule, then Monday, you have read all the way through to Friday, then when we come to our time of fellowship, then I will guarantee you, you will have something to say. You won't just sit there and stare at Auntie Amy. If you do not have this habit to have the time to draw near to the Lord, to read and to draw near to the Lord and pray, then of course on Friday night you will have nothing to say. You have nothing to give. So this is an organization in our time management. So I shared with some of the high schoolers and the middle schoolers and I said, if every day you do this, you will find that the Lord will most definitely, in that 15 minutes time, He will speak to you. And in this habit, as a mother, now I'm going to talk about the moms. Mothers, if you have this thought that you have a daily schedule, and then you allow your children to also follow in your schedule, then every day you will find that it is, your time is so well used. It's not that all of a sudden you turn around and the time is gone. I remember at that time when I had come to Houston and I was spending the 1 month time after she had her number three. And so I was taking care of the two older children, Bethany and Joshua. And so I have my habits, I have my schedule. And so after I got up, and so after I made breakfast for them, and their father had already left for work, so I would go to my room, and the two little kids would stand outside my door, and they said, "Grandma, can we come in?" And I said, "No, Grandma is still reading her Bible." And they said, "What time is our turn?" And I said, "After Grandma, then you guys can. So you will wait." So the two of them were very well behaved. And so they're very quiet outside playing. And once the time has come, I will open the door. And I said, "Okay, now it's your turn." And so the two of them, they would ran into my room and jump on my bed. And then I would spend some time with them to sing some Sunday school songs. And then we read some books. After we read some books, then we read the Bible story. And then we would sing some other children's songs. And then we have different activities all the way until 11:30, 2 hours. It was 2 hours time. So with the children, because I have a schedule, every day, this is what I do. Because once I'm organized in this way, and then with the two little ones, with my grandchildren, they also had their schedule. And so I found it was so interesting. After I spent that 1 month, one time my daughter also called and she said, "Mother, you know something very interesting happened." And I said, "What?" "I was breastfeeding," because I was still breastfeeding number three. "And then Bethany and Josh were upstairs. And all of a sudden, there was no sound. The house was so quiet. So I didn't know what was going on. And so after nursing, I went upstairs. And the two kids, Bethany and Joshua, were sitting on the bed that Grandma used to sleep on. And they were both reading the Bible. And of course, at that time, they did not know how to read yet. But they knew exactly what to do. Because when Grandma was here, we needed to read the Bible. This is called a daily schedule. So as an adult, our daily life habits, how are we going to pass it down to our next generation? So as adults, if you have good time management, your children, your grandchildren, it will be very easy. It's not difficult. This organizing of your daily life needs to be in your thoughts. If you have that thought, then you will have a daily life habit. I need to continue on. Next is we need to avoid giving the enemy an opportunity to attack her thought life. No idleness. Remember the story of David's fall. Yes, even though it was David who fell, but in our thoughts, if you are empty, if it happens in the sister, it could still happen to us. We are all human. I often want to encourage young brothers and sisters, do not allow your time to be idle. Do not allow your mind to be idle. It's better to use your time to read, to do something, to be in the kitchen. Your thoughts, do not allow it to go crazy. This is a training. Do not give the enemy an opportunity. This thought needs to be in us from when we are young. The next management is regarding charity giving, charitable giving. Verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. So this means that she is skillful and creative. Yes, sisters, because of the distaff, because she's stretching out her hands. She's doing things with her hands. When you know how to do things, and when you have creativity, you will find that every day, there's so much to do. When I think of this point, I think of my daughter-in-law. I really, really thank the Lord. She's a very skillful and very creative sister. At first, I did not really understand, but later when I went to her house, I realized she's very good at cooking, she's very good at sewing, and the cushions on the sofa, she took apart the couch, and the next day there were new cushions. She's very creative. Because of this, she's often making things to give to others. This charitable heart. Not only is it in finances, but there's many different aspects. If you know how to make, you can give. Be hardworking. And then, verse 20, she extends, opens her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is a person of abundance and contentment. Yes, we need to be those who can give. If you constantly feel that you do not have enough, if constantly within you, my husband has not provided enough for my family, it's very difficult to give. If you are not content, it is very difficult to give. However, if you know that what the Lord has given to us is the best, that we are so abundant, then it's very easy to extend our hands to the poor. This is a very simple principle. She is not self-centered and senses the needs of others. This I do not need to go into too much more. Don't be self-centered. And then, hand is singular to the poor. And then hands, she is plural. This is plural hands to the needy. This is very amazing. Why is it that in Proverbs 34, why does it use the vocabulary in such a way? This virtuous woman, her capacity to give is so great. She's able to give to the poor and she's able to give to the needy. The more you give, you will realize the more the Lord will give to you. This I find so amazing. The more you give out, and the more the Lord gives to us. In our family lives, I have truly experienced this. Back then, many years ago, we were serving at a particular place. Yes, our finances were very tight. And one time, Brother Bohr, once a month, he would drive from Vancouver to Seattle. And after his service in Seattle, he would bring a love offering back to us. And so every month, my children were very young and finances were very tight. One time, Brother Bohr came back from Seattle and he brought a love offering. And when I opened it, inside was $50. When I opened it and saw that it was $50, I all of a sudden had a thought that this money was not mine. This money is not for me. I need to give this money to give to someone else. I had this thought that I need to give to someone else. It was not mine. But of course, we had our family needs, but somehow the Lord in me had a very, very strong feeling of this. So after I prayed, I didn't have anything to say. I put that money into another envelope and I wrote that person's name. And because it happened to be a Tuesday night, I took it to church because it was prayer meeting night. I put it in the love offering box. And that night, my husband said to me, "Oh, Sister Amy, the brothers opened the love offering and then we have another love offering." So in my heart, I was so surprised because I was the one and who designated an envelope to another person. And at the same time, there was another love offering that was designated to us. When I opened it, I realized there was so much more. And so in these aspects, the Lord has helped me. That when I give to others, I don't know what the need is for others, but the Holy Spirit will move us, particularly in God's house. When brothers and sisters have a need, they will not say it, but in God's house, yes, when there is a true need, the Lord will work in our hearts and will give us this conviction of moving. We need to submit and obey. We need to move on. Verse 14 in health management. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. We have already mentioned this. However, in application, we're going to talk about it differently. We're going to talk about it regarding diet. Knowledgeable of the right food to buy, particularly as mothers. When you bring your food into your home, bring in the right things. Don't buy crazy stuff. We all need to know this. Next, good understanding of why some foods we cannot buy for the family. This is very clear. Many junk food today, as moms, if you're constantly buying that, particularly for your young children in elementary school, their appetite, if you have spoiled them in their appetite, then you will never stop fighting regarding the meal times. Do take care of your own health. If you yourself, your health is poor, it would be difficult for you to take care of your own family. Oftentimes we're too busy, or perhaps we have neglected and we haven't thought of it. Next, verse 17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. The health of her family depends on her, so she needs to be mindful of her own needs. If we're constantly ill, laying in bed, then what's going to happen to our children? Of course, who's going to buy groceries? Who's going to go to work? We all know this. Does she know about probiotics? We've talked about this for many years. We're going to continue on. Exercise. How much are we disciplined? This is very important too. Do we have a set time every day, each week, that we're going to exercise? That every day we will go take a walk? And for how long? Particularly as our age gets a little older. Exercise will be very important. Now, before the pandemic, I really thank the Lord. Now, because I'm older and I receive Medicare, one of the benefits is for us to go to the gym for free. So I'm really thankful to the Lord. Brother Bohr, he will go to his gym, I will go to my gym. Well, since it's free, if you don't go, then it's a waste. So starting from age 65, I've been going well. And at that time, it was so wonderful. I felt very comfortable. And then this aspect, sexual relationship. We need to understand our own physiological makeup. This is also important. Sisters, perhaps among us who are Asians, we don't speak of this often. But today, in the 21st century, to have a normal relationship, particularly in society, there's so many dysfunctional relationships. Our children need to know what is normal, what is abnormal. So as parents, we ourselves need to be clear on this and get over this taboo of not speaking of it. Perhaps sometimes we need to speak of this positively to teach our children. Regarding the sexual relationship, God has created this. Only when, if within the confines of the marriage. Between husband and wife, this is a beautiful thing. Between husband, outside of husband and wife, it is sin. We need to have a healthy concept to face this. Otherwise, our children will also have an incorrect understanding. This is important. And lastly, this management is our spiritual management. All right, so verse 28 to 31. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Thank the Lord. To learn these lessons of being a wife, a mother, the foundation comes from our spiritual life. Of course, we need to fear the Lord. There's many aspects of this, but this life of fearing the Lord, it needs to be priority. If it is a priority, you will not live upside down. Of course, the Bible tells us it's not this outward charm and beauty. It is not a deceitful charm and outward beauty, because all this will pass away. But we do hope that these words could be hidden in our heart. And then there's this last thought. A sister in the scripture received the praise of a virtuous woman. Do you know who this woman is? Which sister in the Bible receive this praise of a virtuous woman? Do you know who it is? There is a sister. This is Ruth. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Ruth. Boaz praised Ruth and told her, you are a virtuous woman. We thank the Lord. In Ruth, we see all of Proverbs 31, everything that is listed there, Boaz saw and said, the city of me, all the people in my city, everyone has seen this. So, yes, outwardly, she had no husband, she had no home, she had no children, she followed her mother-in-law. But in her life, what lived out from her life was all the virtues of the inward woman. It is in Proverbs 31. She lived out all those virtues. It's not just one person, but all the people in the city, even the people at the gates, knew that she was a virtuous woman. This is such a great reminder for us of the inward qualities of this virtuous woman. Yes, we can apply it to different managements of our lives, but if you really go back down to the principle, it is of our life. So the result of fearing the Lord is from Malachi 3:16-17. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. This, to all of us sisters, is a very, very great comfort. When you learn your whole life how to honor and fear the Lord, our names will be written in His book of remembrance. This is such a comfort. And the Lord says that they will be mine. We are His. We will forever belong to Him. In these two verses, I do feel that oftentimes, whether it's in my attitude, my temper, or perhaps when I need to face some trials, I find that the Lord constantly uses His words to remind me that I am His. I know that my time has arrived, that I need to conclude now. I need to pause here. I need to stop here. Otherwise, I will not be able to finish next week. And so now let me pass the time back to Sister Hannah or Sister Joy. We thank our sister for her words of encouragement. We will have some time to pray. I'm going to send the invitation to everybody to be in your breakout rooms. Thank you.